This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
It's time to awaken an entire nation.
I'll be a dog till I die. Between the hedges, looking fly. 90,000 in the stands, I'ma do my dance, make it look fine. Coach put me in the game. UGA, yeah, the name. Yeah, the offense gonna turn up, but the defense gonna win us the game.
Here's your host, Corey Burton.
All right, welcome back. It is another edition of the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network, the number one podcasting network for professionals. I'm Corey Burton. Joining me, as always, is my bearded co-host, Israel Troop. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Finally enjoying some sun. We've been monsooning down here, and sun's finally out. Also, the pollen. So if you hear some sniffles, between me and Corey, there's nothing wrong. We're not sick or anything. You know, just this pollen level is off the chain right now.
Yeah, it's been near 70 all week. So we went from like 15 degrees to 50s and 60s, like in a snap of a finger. So that's probably why I got my sniffles. But I think I'm just allergic to everything too, so that doesn't help either.
Yeah, the pollen count down here is ridiculous, but I would rather have that going on than the alternative, because I haven't even had a chance to mow my grass, so I'm just glad that it's finally sunny and 75 down here.
I'm just jealous you got to mow your grass. So yeah, I'm gonna take a picture of this patch of ice that is still in my driveway. It is the most resilient patch of ice I've ever seen in my life. I'm gonna send it to my team and say, if you guys are as resilient as this patch of ice, we will win the state championship.
Man, how about that? That's some resilient ice right there now.
Yeah, and it's like still thick, and like you know how sometimes when like ice is, well, you probably don't know because you live in South Georgia and it's a million degrees all year round, but you know, sometimes like when it looks like it's solid and you step mm-hmm. on it and it kind of just like really, it just buckles it's under mushy. The slightest pressure and then it gets real mushy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this ice is not like that. Like I about busted my ass.
Oh, you was about to be on that patch of ice highlight tape.
Yep. It almost got me, but I recovered.
Athlete.
That's right. Hashtag athlete. Yeah, I was doing, we finally got cleared for workout. So we had a workout number two today, and I did some ladder drills. I still got it, Israel. I still got it.
Get it going.
Yeah. I did the icky shuffle, and the kids were like, coach, what? I didn't know you had this in you. Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to 2021, baby. Showing y'all all new things.
37, I still got it, guys. I still got it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So I was excited about that. What also I'm excited about is the fact that you can find us on Twitter at Bleav in Dogs on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, even LinkedIn, really. You can find Israel at TroopStar28 on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at CoachBurton36 on Twitter, at Burton.Corey on Instagram. Also, I'm excited that we're brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Football might be over. Well, FCS football is still in. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing, and the only place you should be betting on these sports is BetOnline.ag. I did an NBA parlay. I was two games away from winning $250. And they were money line bets too, which means if you pick a money line, you're just basically picking the winner. You don't worry about mm-hmm. the spread. And I lost the Knicks of all teams, like the piss poor New York Knicks destroyed my parlay.
Oh man. See, that's the thing about basketball. It's so unpredictable. Like Dan said the other week, like you could go out and team can win, you know, 100-50, and then the next week they'll get beat 100-50. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I don't like basketball like that, because it is so unpredictable.
Yeah,
I think it's rigged personally. Because there's no way you go out and destroy a basketball team like a week before, and then the very next week, you know, you get destroyed by yourself. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't make sense to me.
It's something's fishy. And if it's rigged, just come out and tell us, because we all like the WWE and we all know that shit's scripted. So. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, I found out the hard way about the WWE, though.
I felt bad about
this one. I Stone Cold stunned my sister, and it was bad.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. It got ugly. But she got up there. She was a champ. She got up. But I didn't realize that they really don't put their head on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Like when he does it, it just kind of looks like they do. And I'm talking about, I went full down, like, come and get you some. And
oh, Stone Cold to say,
oh, my mom was not happy about that.
I bet not. I mean, we've all tried to go from the top rope. We've all tried. Mine was the diamond cutter. I would go and diamond cut people. The Goldberg spear, you know, the stinger splash, the figure four, all that stuff. The lion tamer, all those moves. We would try those moves on each other all the time, and we realized, wait a second. This hurts. this is not good.
They usually get right back up. What happened?
Yeah, no, I was like, wow, my legs should not bend that way. It's crazy.
Exactly.
So yeah, we WWE. So anyway, you can actually probably bet on the WWE as well as award shows, TV shows, and reality TV shows, because BetOnline covers all of that. BetOnline has hundreds of props with real-time odds on almost anything you can imagine. And, of course, the 24-hour online casino. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Israel, I said football was over. I lied. It's not. Did you watch any of the FCS games?
No, I wasn't able to. I had a golf tournament Saturday, so I hadn't been able to catch one yet. I've been trying to look them up, but I don't know which stations have had them, but I'm definitely going to find them.
ESPN Plus.
Yes, there are some dang good FCS schools that are playing right now, and I'm just glad that they're being able to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any one particular team that you follow, or you just kind of enjoy it?
I just enjoy it. I think Kennesaw State played tonight. If I'm not mistaken, or it might have been yesterday,
I didn't even realize that.
They're excited about it, and I'm excited for them. Because, you know, obviously we got to play our season, and a lot of colleges elsewhere did. So I'm just glad that those guys are also getting to play their season, because they've been waiting for this moment as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's interesting is some of the best football in our state of Tennessee is all of the FCS schools around here and that play in the Ohio Valley Conference, the OVC. Tennessee Tech knocked off a OVC favorite, Austin Peay, on Sunday. That was interesting. Like, Tennessee Tech was like exactly middle of the road. They were 500, middle of the pack, you know, middle to bottom of the pack in the OVC. Just a team that had been awful for the last few years. They hire a new head coach. They go 6-6 in his first season last year, and they start this season. They start this weird spring season knocking off Austin Peay, who has a head coach that is almost a decade younger than me, which is blows my mind.
I saw that. One of my golfers is signed with Austin Peay, and I think they're doing a good job. Coach Silvoy's there. You know, he's a great guy and a great recruiter as well. So I think they'll bounce back. And I mean, like I said, football is not over yet, ladies and gentlemen. It's still around.
And I'm here for this spring football if they want to do it permanently. But, yeah, I mean, Austin Peay, as long as they don't turn the ball over four times and have 13 catastrophic penalties, I think they'll be fine. Tennessee Tech, they still held Tennessee Tech to well under 200 yards of total offense. They had, I think, a school record of 7 sacks in the game. They forced 2 turnovers themselves. I mean, the defense played lights out. But – obviously, when your offense, when one of your scoring drives that you give up is 12 yards, it's not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all.
Yeah. That's not very far for them to have to go, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, yeah, some other teams that are interesting to me, you know, me being, I kind of dabble in air raid philosophy. So, I do enjoy watching teams like Samford. And I do enjoy some good option football. So I like to watch Furman and Wofford I kind of got into that North Dakota Southern Illinois game too. I mean, I was just kind of flipping around on Saturday, and there was a lot of interesting contest on there.
Man, that's awesome. I'm glad those guys are playing, man. And for everybody out there who thought football was over, it's not. So tune in, grab ESPN Plus and watch these guys play. Because like I said, these guys have been working hard just like everybody else. So they're getting their chance to shine. So everybody tune in and get your football on. Because also I know baseball season coming up too, but football season is still in effect.
Yeah, there's a lot of great teams out there, so go support these FCS programs. Those guys work extremely hard. But Israel, we've got a lot of stuff on the docket for UGA. We got the basketball team; they've got some things going on. We've got women's basketball; they've got some great things going. Baseball, they won their first series against Evansville. They had a tough one Friday night, but they ended up winning the next three. Swimming and diving placed third overall at the SEC Women's Swimming and Diving Championship. So your guy Josh Brooks is very active on the Twitter, updating the world on the happenings of Georgia athletics. So congratulations to the women's swimming and diving team. They finished third third overall in the SEC tournament. So I want to talk about the women's basketball team. They completed a season sweep of the Tennessee Volunteers. I don't know when any team could say that, much less Georgia. So, yeah, they completed the sweep there. Gabby Connolly had 24 points. They held on for a 57-55 win. Georgia is now 17-4 on the season, 9-4 in SEC play. It's just one of those accomplishments that, I mean, we could be 2-17. It doesn't matter what the record is. Anytime you can sweep a historically good program like Tennessee is incredible.
Oh, yes. And, you know, Pat Summitt, who's one of the best women's coaches that I've ever seen, you know, had that team rolling, and they were always tough to beat. You know, me being, you know, a Georgia alum now, you know, you always want to beat Tennessee. When those games will happen, and whether it was basketball or the Lady Bulldogs playing as well, you know, we always went to those games. It was always cool to see Tennessee come out and how they played, and for Georgia to do something that not many teams has ever done, you know, is a big accomplishment to them. And congratulations, ladies, on a phenomenal season so far, and can't wait to see how much further they can go.
Yeah, they're playing for seeding right now in the NCAA tournament. So it'd be interesting to see when that rolls around where they're seeded and what that looks like. So congrats to the Lady Dogs on that. Also, the men's team turned in quite a performance against LSU, winning 91-78, and Samir Wheeler getting the first ever triple double in school history. So 116 seasons of Georgia basketball, not one person has made a triple double except Samir Wheeler. He had 14 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists in 37 minutes of play. And he was absolutely incredible. This team was absolutely incredible. You had Kamara at 22 points. He was the leading scorer. You had Fagan with 18 points. You had Katie Johnson with 21 points. So you had four guys in double digits as far as points go. You had two double-digit rebounders. And I'm trying to see if there's any double-digit stats from any other categories. There was not, but you had some guys on the defensive boards almost. You had some really good production on the defensive boards, 31 total defensive rebounds. 16 total offensive rebounds for a total of 47. You had it was absolutely incredible. You had, as a team, 18 of 28 from the free throw line, so much better night there. They were just creating good shots, moving the ball, playing good defense. They just played an all-around great game against LSU, and I'm thoroughly, thoroughly impressed.
Oh, yeah, before I had to go and put my little man to bed, we were sitting here watching it and just – they came out of that in that game and expected to win. You know, they had a little had a different swagger about them, you know, as they hit the court, you know, as soon as the game started. And watching that game, the way they played defense, you know, the way they attacked the boards, had a lot of fast break points, you know, and good transition, ball movement, things like that. It came out and they looked like a complete basketball team. They came out, like I said, with a different swagger to them. They just knew it. There was a different type of energy that they just knew that they were going to win that basketball game, you know, and I was glad to see it. You know, that was something that we hadn't really seen, you know, all year except for Kentucky. And they came out, you know, with that fire, with the swag, and they came out and put on the show for the hometown fans. And, you know, my man Coach Josh Brooks is tweeting out excited and everything like that. So, I mean, you can tell that the momentum's starting to swing with the men's basketball team, and I'm all here for it. And congratulations, guys, and let's keep it going.
Absolutely. I mean, the basketball programs, both of them are starting to kind of hit their stride. This the men's team is starting to kind of like finally kind of figure itself out, figure each other out. And, you know, I guess you could attribute a lot of that to COVID and not being able to train the way they normally would and build that chemistry preseason and some of these like pre New Year's games where you're playing teams like Northeast Louisiana Technical Institute for the Deaf. You're yeah. playing, you know, and fine tuning all of the stuff that you need to fine tune. So that's, you know, that's one of those games where you just feel good about everything. You know, that you can't seem to miss. You're getting, like I said, you're getting to the rim with high efficiency. You're taking great shots. Your shot selection is the best it's ever been since the season started. And like I said, with this team, it's feast or famine. And on Tuesday night, they feasted, and hopefully on Saturday, they'll continue to feast as they host as the men's team will host South Carolina. That'll be a 1 p.m. tip. It will not be the final game of the regular season. They were able to manage getting an additional game scheduled. They were supposed to play Texas A&M. Texas A&M backed out, postponed due to Florida. Due to COVID issues, not Florida, but due to COVID issues. And I think A&M had to reschedule something with Florida, which knocked them out of playing us and manipulated the schedule. But the SEC announced that Georgia will now get the privilege of hosting number 6, Alabama, on March 6th, just 4 days before the start of the tournament. So this will be a nice little 2-game stretch here for the Dogs. But, you know, we're playing better, so hopefully the result might be a little bit better. So I'm liking the direction of this program. Tom Crean is, you know, he's like I said, he's starting to come together, starting to click. And I think not panicking on this team and not saying, okay, Tom Crean is not our guy. Tom Crean is not our guy. And immediately just holding on to that thought. I think Josh Brooks has given him a chance to work himself out of this, and he's doing just that. And he learned that from Greg McGarrity. Greg McGarrity showed restraint with Scott Strickland. So do you think that's playing a role in how Josh Brooks is viewing this basketball program?
I think so too. I think with Josh, I think he had a chance to be around, you know, Coach Crean a little bit more than Mr. McGarrity did. And so I think he kind of knows a little bit more, knows the plan and direction that he's trying to go in. And now, we've said at the beginning of the show, and basketball season started, you're starting to see them get better and better each week. And I think that's what you want. You know, Kirby Smart says all the time, I'm looking for results. And I think right now we're getting results. You know, it's not right now immediate, you know, but you're starting to see us get better and better each game. So as long as we're doing that and, you know, we get a couple guys here and there, I think Georgia basketball is going to be really good. I think that the leadership right now is great. I panicked a little bit at the beginning, but, you know, I just said, you know, just let us ride the wave and let's see what happens. And right now, I mean, we're playing really good basketball. That LSU game just showed, you know, how good that we could be, you know, and without COVID, who knows how good we could be? Who knows how that chemistry would be on the basketball court? So I think Josh is just kind of sitting back and seeing the whole body of work, not just one thing. You know what I mean? Like, most fans look at just one aspect of the game, wins and losses. I think, like, as we do, and as we've been saying on the show, looking at the whole body of the whole thing. Are we getting better and better each week? Are we developing player? And I think that decision is going to be made by Josh. And I think right now, Coach Crean has got to do that.
Absolutely. And he's got a great plan. He's got some things going. So I look forward to seeing what this team can do in the SEC tournament. I think this is a team that if it gets hot, which it seems like they're getting hot at the right time, maybe they can make a run, maybe not. There's some teams that are up and down. It's a weird year, so you never know what happens. If you continue to take smart shots, if you continue to improve rebounding and you continue to improve on the free throw line and creating good shots for yourself, you never know where this thing might end up. This thing could be a 08 miracle run type team where no one expected that 08 team to do anything, and they ended up winning the whole tournament. And
exactly.
The funny story about that, I had just moved up to Nashville. I was probably up in Nashville for like 2 weeks, maybe tops. And so we were covering that tournament, and I remember the whole tornado stuff happening. I remember all of that. I remember staying up till like, I remember working till like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning because of all that tornado coverage and everything that we had to do. And it was insane. But yeah, that team, I've never seen a team just come together and take such a weird circumstance and take advantage of it. And I can see this Georgia team starting to do that. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch this team. It's been fun to watch them grow. And I hope this program continues that momentum on into next year. I'm hoping it's not, you know, some teams, Israel, are like they have a great season. They follow up with a stinker because they just can't really, they're having to repeat trying to get to know each other year in and year out. Well, with this, and I think teams like Kentucky go through that, which a lot of times they're talented enough to where they can overcome a lot of that stuff. But, you know, there's some teams that just can't seem to consistently put some things together. That's unfortunately, that's been plaguing Georgia for quite some time, is having a good year followed by a bad year, followed by a couple bad years and another decent year. And then they can't seem to kind of get on an even keel. Maybe now you're starting to see, okay, some of these transfer guys, they're on an even keel. Now we can start bringing in some guys underneath them and kind of start developing that pipeline of, okay, we got some good guys in the mix, and a good mix of lottery guys and role players and guys that'll keep the program going, so that when these lottery guys come in, like the Anthony Edwards, when they come in, the superstars, they come into a great group of role players, and then we form a cohesive unit. That's the kind of the formula I feel like you got to have for basketball.
Exactly. And we're not Kentucky. You know what I mean? We're not getting 4- and 5-star basketball players every year. So like you said, we need a couple of those JUCO guys come in, older guys that's played the game, you know, that kind of understand how it works. And we definitely need to start recruiting and getting some younger guys in there to kind of learn and build the program to where we start to become the Kentuckys, you know, and the Dukes and those things like that. Because right now we're not even close to sniffing on that level, you know. So right now it's all about, you know, building. Everything you do is about building. We can't get rid of one and then all of a sudden we got another one on the bench that's going to replace them. No, if we get rid of one, we're developing another one right now. So we have to continuously keep it rolling, continuously to develop players. And I think after that, I mean, the sky's the limit for this basketball team. I don't think that there's a ceiling on this basketball team. I think they can go as high can go, just because nobody expects them to.
No, nobody expects them to, and they've got a great recruiting area.
Nobody's expecting us to be competitive at all. No. Because you got Alabama now, then you got Kentucky, and you know, even Georgia Tech, who we got to compete with too. You know, so there's some great basketball in Atlanta. So I think if we can tap in, like the football team does, keep a lot of those guys in the state and get them at Georgia, I think we're going to be just that much closer to being exactly where we want to be and being competitive year in and year out, you know, right on the same level as the women's basketball team.
Yeah, no doubt. And just need to get to where we're making the tournament every other season. I think that's a good short-term goal. And then, you know, eventually roll it into, okay, we're a lock for the tournament. It's just a matter of what seed. And then now, okay, we're perennial SEC championship contenders where we're constantly getting into the late rounds of the conference tournament. And we make a run every now and again in the NCAA where we go Sweet 16, Elite Eight, you know, kind of like there was like a 3-4 year run that Tennessee had where they were kind of like that. They've since kind of fallen back down to earth a little bit, but Tennessee was like that for a few seasons. Auburn is a team that's right on the cusp of doing that. Florida was when they won their back-to-back national championships, and they would make constant deep runs in the playoff or in the playoffs in the NCAA tournament before and after those championships. They had a really good run for a team that seemingly came out of nowhere with Billy Donovan. They kind of followed that. Okay, we're going to get a few surefire NBA guys, surround them with some role players, and then next thing you know, their whole starting five played in the NBA because they just got better. And Billy Donovan became an NBA coach. He got his recognition, things like that. So maybe Georgia can follow that formula. I don't know.
Exactly. It's just getting better and better each week. And right now, just from what I've seen, the body of work that's been going on, I mean, they're doing that. And, you know, I'll never knock down a coach if, you know, if he's trying. You know, if we're looking out there and it just looks like they're just dragging, you know, I think that's when it's time to make the change. But right now, I mean, they're rolling. I mean, just from watching that LSU game, it just shows that, all right, they're starting to figure it out. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we finish out the season well. You know, whatever happens in that, and COVID kind of settles down and those guys are able to be together and, you know, and start, you know, being together, you know, playing video, hanging out, you know, like normal. And then, you know, you start to build that bond and then the sky's the limit after that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm excited. And I know the Georgia fan base is excited to finally get some good basketball. And even after those two back-to-back 30-point blowouts, that was kind of, I guess, rock bottom for this program. And they had some soul searching to do, and they found it. So just want to give a shout out to the men's basketball program. I also want to give a shout out to our newest sponsor, eBay. That's right, eBay. So I want to give a brief moment to talk about our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe that you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop that pair that you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it also protects sellers with the verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers that are $100 plus, making it free to sell or flip your collection. So if you're a sneakerhead, that's great news. I know I tweeted out one of my favorite pair of Jordans that I saw. If I had $225 to throw at them, I probably would get them. I love those Jordans. And apparently, I don't remember this, but apparently one of my best friends growing up, I did the old hand-me-down to him, and he got them for me. So there you go. They were the Jordan 4s. I think they're the something like the spider or something, the spider web, the spider whatever. Anyway, they were awesome. They were so comfortable. They were my favorite pair. And then the patent leather ones were also my favorites. I love those. What do you have a particular sneaker that you like?
I don't. I like Jordan. I like the way they look, but I'm just not a sneakerhead like a Jordan guy. Yeah. You know, I'm more of a Nike guy. So if I get a nice pair of Nikes, I'm in the Air Maxes right now. So yeah. I'm a big Air Max fan right now, but I've never been one of the, I have to get this pair of Jordans when they come out.
I used to be that way. I'm not quite that way anymore. But I just you give me a good pair of light, comfortable Nike running shoes, I'm good. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. So there's a lot of good stuff on there. if you're looking. So be on the lookout for me too. There might be some polo shirts that hit the market. Who knows? coming soon. If you're listening, find it on eBay, buy it from me. I promise I won't price gouge you. I mean, what, $90 for a used polo shirt. That's pretty reasonable, right?
Yeah, just not.
It's not. So if you're a double X or an XL, then come see me. Anyway, want to talk about some baseball? Let's talk about some baseball. Let's get it. So Friday night was disappointing a little bit, Georgia won the final three games of its series against Evansville. They're 3-1 on this young season. They won both Saturday games, including a 6-5 contest, thanks to a walk-off single by Riley King, who we talked about in our last episode. On Sunday, the pitching staff yielded just one hit compared to 10 walks as the Bulldogs came away with a 4-1 victory. So they were able to salvage those 10 walks, not have any disaster. So freshman Hank Bearden got the win on Sunday. Over the course of a four-game series, he was one of 18 freshman pitchers used throughout the course of the weekend. So it is, you know, they've had some guys out, they've had some injuries and things like that. Mm-hmm. So when you play a series like Evansville and you lose a game, you know, the common fan that doesn't know that college baseball is probably the sport that has the highest parity because of there's like 127,000 rounds in the MLB draft. So a lot of the top players end up in Major League Baseball and end up in the minor leagues. So college baseball is kind of that weird sport where teams like Evansville can beat SEC opponents and teams like Cal State Fullerton, who probably has like three other sports total, can make runs in the College World Series. So like what, like when you're scouting teams like that, when you're playing against teams like that, is it easy to get caught up in the name, like, man, this is Evansville, we should go out and sweep 4-0? Or is it just you just take it as it comes? You know, how do you manage games like this?
I think you prepare for each game, you know, like you would, you know, if you're playing an SEC opponent. You know, one thing about baseball, you can't count anybody out in baseball. Because, I mean, one day, as we saw, you know, you could have just one of those days you can't throw strikes or your team's just not hitting well and you lose, you know. And that's just baseball gods just being baseball gods. You know, it's not like the NBA where, you know, you're just going up and down the court and hitting shots and stuff. So, I mean, baseball is just one of those sports to where if you're off that day, like you're like everything's off. You know, so to go out and, you know, lose a game to them, you know, they're really good baseball team, you know, and it might not seem that way because you haven't heard of, just because you haven't heard of a team in baseball does not mean that they're not good. What tends to happen is those guys who are drafted in high school, you know, they genuinely don't go to the big colleges like Georgia and stuff like that. They go to schools like Evansville. Why? Because they work on what they need to work on. You end up playing them and they get drafted the very next year. You know, how many times have you looked at the MLB draft and was like, what in the heck school is that? You know, and the guys go, he's pumping out 95, you know, with an 80 mile an hour deuce, you know, just, you know, things like that. So, you know, everybody with baseball, everybody calm down. You know, baseball is a finicky sport. Anybody who's ever played baseball will tell you that. You know, there's been plenty of series where, all right, it's a sweep and, you know, that it goes down to the rubber match. So I think this weekend showing was good, you know, and it also shows, you know, where your deficiencies are. You know, I think you said 18 pitches were used this weekend. That's great. You want to know why? Because it shows you what they can and can't do. Can they perform under pressure? Can they throw strike? You know, things like that. So, I mean, it's the first series of the season, guys. It's okay.
Yeah, no big deal. So this weekend, a couple good things happening. Ryan Webb is set to return. Georgia hosts Gardner Webb. And because of the forecast on Friday, I know you're excited. There's more rain coming. They will now play a Saturday doubleheader starting at noon. Fans that had a ticket to Friday night's game can use that for the first game of the doubleheader on Saturday. They will be asked to clear Foley Field after the first game so the facility can be sanitized. So if someone comes up and taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, we need to sanitize this place, can you vacate? Don't be that Karen and push back. Just do the right thing.
Exactly.
So Saturday's doubleheader will now feature 2 9-inning games. The second game will not start before 4:30. Fans with a ticket to Saturday's game may use that for the second game of the doubleheader as well. Saturday games will be 9 innings. Fan must have a ticket to each game in which they plan on attending. So you got to have 2 tickets. So you're going to go out and you got to have a ticket to come back in, obviously. Ryan Webb back on the mound. That's huge. He's a senior lefty. We both are extremely bullish on him. He's going to give starting rotation a shot of experience when he returns to the mound. That's the quote that that our guy Dasher over at UJ Sports used.
My man.
Yep, exactly. Webb will pitch the first game of Saturday's doubleheader. Webb is 4-5 with a 3.77 ERA, which if you have an ERA under 10 in college baseball, that's amazing because with the metal bats, college baseball is a freaking launching pad. It's basically home run derby.
Those bats ain't worth a dang now. You know the bats that we used to play with, you know, was like hitting a tennis ball. Yeah. You know, it was like ping, ping, ping. Now it's like, you know, true. Just it doesn't really go very far.
That's true. Didn't they call it gorilla ball? Wasn't LSU gorilla ball where they're just mashing?
Yeah.
I was like, good Lord, man. Yeah, the high pitch ping where like the slightest little swing, you could easily take it 500 feet. I mean, people were easy. Like, I guess back when you were playing and before that, people were bombing them into the tennis center, weren't they?
Yes. Like I remember when the Eastern Connections first came out, the composite ones, when they first came out. And, you know, we're playing that. That was when Coach Perno and Coach Eller and all of them were there. And, you know, I got to use that one. And, you know, I hit one to the tennis courts, you know, with that. Now, I mean, it's barely getting over the fence unless you really catch one. So, but at the same time, the bats we use were kind of dangerous, too. Imagine playing third base and somebody smoking one down.
Oh,
in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't really enough time to get away from those balls back then.
No, there wasn't. And luckily I would have been an outfielder. So I would have played in right field. So I would have had plenty of time to see one if they hit one towards me. But I remember when I was playing I was like, I think I was 13 years old. And, you know, the Easton Reflex C cores that just came out, the carbon core composite bats had just come out, and those were like all the rage. And TPX had not yet had an answer for it. Usually it's like Easton has a bat, and then TPX comes out with one, and then Easton one-ups them, and then TPX one-ups them, so on and so forth. So Easton had just made their Reflex Gold and Reflex C Core. I don't know if you ever had those bats or if you were a TPX guy, but I remember making the switch from TPX to the Easton bat because I made the switch to Easton the Reflex Gold because I mean I was just mashing with that bat. But I was pitching this one particular day. I played on a travel team when I was 13, 14, and I was pitching, and this kid, I swear, there was a pavilion in center field, and the pavilion sat probably like if you hit the ball into the pavilion, it would have meant you would have had to hit a 350-foot shot to dead center. To hit it over the pavilion, that was probably another 150 feet, not only out but up. So this kid, I must have thrown the meatiest pitch I've ever thrown in my entire life. Because this kid smoked it, and it went about 450 feet. And it was one of those, as soon as I heard it, I just ducked my head, and I knew it was gone. You know that sound. You just know it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I was on the wrong end of that one. I've been on the right end of a few of those where as soon as you hit it, you just know, and you just start that strut. Did you ever strut when you hit a home run, or?
I did a lot of mean things to people when I hit home runs.
You a bat flipper?
I'll tell you one. No, I was a stir downer. if the dugout, we had some huge rivalries when I was in school. So, you know, if the one dugout was talking trash and I hit a bomb, you know, I kind of stare in the dugout, smile and flip the bat at him, you know, and things like that. And to piggyback off, you said Buster Posey, you know, was a senior when I was a freshman. I'm at Tiff County. He went to Lee County. We're all in the same region. And he, to this day, he has still hit the farthest high school home run I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow.
I mean, he hit it. I'm pretty sure it's in orbit right now still. He hit it and nobody on the field moved. Like the only person that moved was the pitcher because he was watching. It was like whiplash. He just saw it go over his head. But everybody just kind of watched it go in slow motion.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, no, this kid is a – no, there's no point in even turning around and pretending to even go chase this ball.
Right.
He got all of it. And that's what makes baseball fun. I think it's great now because, I mean, it's still kind of that chattiness and, you know, competitiveness that, you know, we had when we were growing up. And the only difference now is that there's social media.
Yeah.
So Snapchat and all that stuff is, you know, boring. But and to me. But, you know, it's great. It's great to see that everybody's starting to play, you know, and if I can say anything, take advantage of it. You know, if you're at practice and you think it's sucking, you know, just imagine last year you didn't even get to play during this time coming up. So just enjoy the moment. I'm glad everybody's getting to play and I hope they can finish out the season. I think Georgia's got a really good baseball team this year. And I can't wait to see them. These next couple of games leading up to the first conference game coming up.
Yeah, no doubt. And one of the people that's off to a surprisingly fast start is freshman catcher Fernando Gonzalez. He is a native of Panama, moved to Florida, where he lived with a host family before coming to Marietta. Then he signed with Georgia and came last August. So he's in the first five games – or starting four of Georgia's first five games, he's proven himself. He's hitting. He comes into the series batting .429 with six hits in his first 14 at bats. I mean, the kid's mashing the ball. He's calling good games behind the plate. He's managing. You know, I think it takes a good catcher to manage a pitching staff. And when you have 18 different pitchers throughout the course of a four-game series, that's a lot of pitchers to manage, and that's a lot of things to, okay, this pitcher likes this, or he likes throwing his slider to this spot. He likes his fastballs up and in. You know, he wants to attack this batter this way. Well, this pitcher wants to attack this batter, the same batter, a different way. You know, things like that. That a catcher has to manage, and I don't know how much of it at the college level, Israel. Maybe you can tell me a little bit more, but I don't know how much at the college level does the catcher call the game, or does the pitching coach call the game, as far as pitches go. And I know in major leagues, obviously the catcher catcher runs the show, and so I was wondering if that's the same in college.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, it just depends on how much trust the staff has in the catcher. If you got a freshman coming in and, you know, he's able to do things, he's able to pick up on things well, then you kind of let him have free reign, in my opinion. But I'm not really sure how they do it. But I mean, it sounds like, and it looks like this kid's the real deal. You know, looking at his stats and stuff, I mean, to have a freshman come in, to one, be a catcher, to be smart, to catch, you know, as many innings as he did, and know the pitchers the way he does, just shows that the work that he's put in, and it just shows you how smart of a ball player he is as well. You have to know each and every one of those pitchers, because you never know when you're going to be catching them, and you never know when they're going to come in, you know. So I'm pretty sure that the coaching staff has a lot of confidence in him. I'm sure they're helping him out with pitching and things like that, but to me, it sounds like he may be, you know, have the green light to, you know, since he has that chemistry with him, to, you know, call the game himself.
Yeah, that's interesting to know that, you know, it takes a lot of trust, especially with a freshman and a freshman with potentially a language barrier, with Gonzalez being a native of Panama and not being far removed from his native country. So I think it's an interesting story. I think it's a interesting deal. And I think it's going to be a great deal if he continues to tear it up at the plate like he's been tearing it up. So that'll be fun. But looking at Gardner-Webb when they come in, you know, we talked a little bit about some of these smaller schools and schools you've never heard of having just these superstar baseball players. Well, Gardner-Webb is no different. They have a starting pitcher, senior Mason Miller. He's 6'5", 200-pound right-hander. He tosses a decent fastball, you know, 96 mile an hour, probably going to be a first rounder out of Gardner-Webb. So it'll be tough sled when he's on the mound, but, you know, hopefully we'll win the series and take advantage of the other pitchers. But against Wofford, he allowed 5 runs in 5.1 innings, but he did strike out 9 batters. So a little bit of ebb and flow there for Miller. So when you have a guy pounding the plate at 96 miles an hour, do you just attack that fastball, or do you hope that his secondary pitch is not as good, or, you know, how do you approach a hitter, or not a hitter, but how do you approach a pitcher like that?
It just depends on arm angle. You know, as he's warming up, I'm looking at, you know, his arm slots, where he's releasing the ball, you know, where he's starting, how can I get a tendency on which pitch he's throwing just by the way he moves, things like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, with a guy that tall, he's probably coming downhill, so he probably doesn't have a lot of movement on the ball. So I'm sitting dead red fastball if he gives it to me. If I get up there and I realize that fastball is moving a little bit, you know, I kind of adjust my mindset to see if he has another pitch. But if he doesn't, I'm sitting dead red fastball on a guy like that. And usually you can tell by the mannerisms when a guy's about to throw a different pitch. So it'd be interesting to see if many of the guys pick up on anything that he's doing. Then it also shows how much detail to the game that they show as well.
Yeah, I mean, Wofford was able to pick up on a few things, blasting him for 5 runs. So maybe it was just kind of a rough outing for him, but he'll probably likely bounce back. But, you know, hopefully Georgia will find a niche and find a way to put the ball in play and manufacture a couple runs. It's probably going to be a low scoring affair. It'll be a great matchup. Webb versus Mason Miller, I think, is the projected mm-hmm. matchup for the first game on Saturday. So that'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, before we wrap up, there's some, we can't go show without talking football. So let's talk some football. Some of the things that are happening with football. Spring football is around the corner. Spring practice is around the corner. They're having all these workouts. Some names that you're hearing that are standing out. One of the adjectives that was used to describe Nyland Green, and I feel pretty good about this because I feel like you and I were pretty spot on. And then when we talked to Dane, that was the first name he brought up too, is that they said that he has the it factor. And mm-hmm. I'm excited about these young corners because not only is Nyland Green coming in and showing that he has an it factor, but Jalen Kimber and Keely Ringo are two guys that are vying for spots too. And I think you're going to see a big youth movement there at that position. I think Kimble can get in there and get some, I think he can get some really good playing time, and I think there's going to be an intense battle for both the cornerback spots.
I think so as well. I mean, I was talking to a good friend of mine, and, you know, through friends that we've had, and, you know, he was asking me, who's going to make the biggest impact? I said, well, Nyland Green is the real deal. And he said, man, I saw him in action. And he said, he is going to be a dang good corner for us. So, I mean, we said it. And it's happening. So I feel like we were pretty spot on with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like you know football a little bit. I feel like I know football a little bit. So I feel like we put our heads together and, you know, we know a little bit about football. So we know a good corner when we see one, because I know that I would be he would probably make me break out in cold sweats if I was trying to game plan for him. So that's no fun. But I'm excited about him. I'm excited about Kimber. I think he's going to be great. He's shown, they're comparing him to Eric Stokes. And then of course, Kelee Ringo clocked in as the fastest Bulldog. So that you can never go wrong there, right?
No, of course not. Well, you got a kid with speed, covering speed. Can never go wrong with that. But I think, you know, with the fact that they're young, and they're getting this experience now, they're getting the reps now, they're competing now. I mean, they're competing against guys that we've been talking about being explosive on offense for us. So, I mean, you're going to get some of the best of the best. So if you're competing and they're talking about you and the light that they're talking about you, mm-hmm. I think you're doing pretty good.
That's right. So, yeah, look out for the DBs. They lose a lot, but I think they're collectively more talented now than they were. That's pretty crazy to say. Outside of Richard LeCount, obviously Richard LeCount brings some of the intangibles that I don't think there's a lot of people around the country that can bring to a program. So that'll be some tough shoes to fill. But I was watching a clip. I saw a clip on Twitter. I forget who posted it, but they were talking about, they showed a clip. It was an end zone copy, like that Skycam shot of the Peach Bowl. And it was Chris Smith filling in for LeCount. And they had an outside zone run play. By the time the running back got to the line, as the running back was about two steps from the line of scrimmage, Chris Smith was still 12 yards deep. By the time the ball carrier approached the line of scrimmage, maybe got a couple of steps past the line of scrimmage, Chris Smith was hitting him. And the linebacker who had filled the gap, forcing the back to bounce, then scraped over the top to the next gap and made the play. And Chris Smith was there to kind of clean it up. So Chris Smith kind of was there, and they kind of, you know, he pulled up and readjusted so that he could help on the tackle and not lay the primary hit. The linebacker made the primary hit, but Smith was able to be there in support and help run that guy out of bounds. So elite closing speed. I'm excited about him after watching that clip.
Oh yeah. And you got guys that love to hit, you know, physical. Most DBs and things like that don't like to hit. But when you got safeties flying down and they're hitting like linebackers, you got corners who are making tackles and actually wanting to come up and feel and spill, you know, I mean, for a defensive coach, I mean, that's what you want and that's what you love. So I know Coach Smart and all the defensive guys are definitely chomping to bit with these guys. I love the physicality that they're playing with.
Absolutely, man. And I'm here for it. And this defense, I mean, at some point this recruiting has gotta pay off. And I think my bold prediction is I think it will in a big way, big, big way. So looking at the quarterback position, Brock Vandegrift comes in, early enrollee. You know, you know what we're getting with him, right? Gunnar Stockton committed for 2022, five-star kid. There's a 2023 guy who is from California. His name is Jaden Rashada. He's from Pittsburgh, California. If you were to ask me to point to Pittsburgh, California on a map, even if I was looking at Pittsburgh, California on a map, I probably still wouldn't know where it is. But he's one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and he's got a keen interest in Georgia. So and Georgia's been really aggressive with him as well. So if Kirby can find a way to manage the position a little bit better, which I think he is, I think this could be one of those where it's just insane glutton of riches, or an embarrassment of riches. I'm mixing metaphors here. I'm tired. I need to go to bed. But I think you bring in all these super talented quarterbacks. You got to find a way to keep them on the roster and have them contribute for you. And this is going to be fun. We might have one of the best quarterback rooms in the entire country, and we might actually supply quarterbacks for the rest of the conference. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully not, but who knows? You never know what's going to happen. With the current quarterbacks we got, with the ones we've got coming down the pipeline, you know, who knows? The days of and I love Stetson to death. I love Stetson Bennett to death. I appreciate everything he did for this program and the games that he started. He took us about as far as he possibly could take us, and then a couple extra steps. He maximized every ounce of talent he has, and he led us to be the only team that led Alabama at halftime the entire season. He had some good moments against Florida before he got hurt, and of course he embarrassed Tennessee and Auburn, which I'm here for myself too. So I appreciate everything about Stetson Bennett. So, but the fact that we'll never have to rely on somebody like Stetson Bennett ever again, it seems like, is a good comforting feeling.
It is, and you know, I love everything for what he's done. I love the way that he's handled everything. But it just goes to show you how much Jeff Munkin has done. You know, it just shows you that kids are starting to believe that this offense is wide open now. That we're going to throw the ball. You know, we're going to open it up. You know, and that just makes me happy. I'm speechless almost. Just because we got the horses, we're building an offensive line, and I mean, we got the quarterbacks to do it as well. So, I mean, I'm excited. I can't wait for football. I can't wait for spring to see how they go and how they're moving. And I just can't wait to see them at the spring game as well, just to see how far we've come along.
Yeah, I want to see these early enrollees and seeing how they're kind of progressing through everything. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see some of these guys that didn't quite play as much as they wanted, like an Adam Anderson, kind of seeing how he's going to progress now being the guy that steps in for that defense and as the primary pass rusher. Jordan Davis, what he's got. I saw a tug of war clip where Jordan Davis was just an absolute beast.
I literally just watched it as we were talking on the phone. I was watching. I was like, yeah, that y'all ain't going to win that one.
Oh my God. Yeah, I looked at it as like, oh my God, Jordan Davis is a freaking block of granite. So
yes,
I'm excited about this team. I'm excited about the direction of the program. I'm excited that we have a head coach that is not afraid to get in with the new trends of this generation. You have some head coaches that don't quite buy in, and they have their ways, and that's their ways. Kirby Smart is going to – and I guess there's a reason that he's recruited so successfully. I'm referencing the clip where he's doing the latest TikTok trend where he calls you and then acts like he's too busy to talk to you.
I've seen that one.
And don't think for a second the people he chose to participate in that TikTok bit with him was not meticulously planned. Like, he called Nick Chubb, one of the top running backs in the NFL, David Pollack, who's going to be the next big star on TV for ESPN. You had Richard LeCount, going to be a second rounder. Jordan Davis, superstar. James Cook, going to be a star. And going to be a star at the next level. And has a brother that's a star already at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
He called those five people. Like, why did he call Prather Hudson? Why did he go, you know, why was it not random? Why did he not call like Tate Ratledge or, you know, somebody like that? No.
Yeah.
He wants name power. He wants star power. And it was hilarious. He was like cracking up laughing the entire time. And it was good to see that, you know, he understands all of that stuff. So it makes you feel good about what you're getting into with recruiting, because he's going to be up on the latest trends. He's going to be relevant. And I think he's got guys around him that are going to help keep him relevant. That's what makes Nick Saban so successful. Look at his staff. How many people are close to Nick Saban's age? I don't think there's anybody within at least 10 to 12 years of Nick Saban age-wise. Maybe Bill O'Brien now?
I was about to say the closest one is probably Bill O'Brien now.
But that's not always the case. You know, like Sarkisian's probably a good 15 years younger at least. Or, you know, Lane Kiffin was just a kid at that point. when he got hired and stuff. So like, there's something to that. And I never really thought about that. And somebody pointed that out and it just made my mind explode. I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you got a player's coach, I mean, he's on the latest trends and he's doing things, that most coaches don't do, you know, cause you gotta look, even Nick Saban is getting hip to the trends a little bit, not as much, but you know, he understands how it all works now. So, you know, we got a coach like that, you know, that makes players want to come, you know, that shows that, all right, coach does have a sense of humor as well. He's not just going to pick up a bag of footballs and throw them at us. So, I mean, that goes a long way in recruiting, making kids feel comfortable, and basically just showing the kids that you care about them. You know, you care about the things that they're going through and the things that, you know, they see every day. And, you know, it makes them feel comfortable knowing that you understand. And secondly, that you know how to work it and that you can have fun with it as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm here for it. And I think we've got something brewing, and it's going to happen soon. It's got to. We're due. I mean, we were a busted coverage away from winning it in 2017. Had the cover two safety not decided to play a tight end crossing route, we would probably be not talking about a national title drought.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there. We just got to finish. And so
that's it.
So with that, Israel, that's going to do it for us. We're going to finish. And and I'm glad we ended on a recruiting note, because if you want to be a part of this show, come find us anywhere you find your podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. You can find us on social media. I'm going to remind you that you can find our show at Believe in Dogs on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find Israel at TroopStar28 on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at CoachBurton36 on Twitter, at Burton.Corey on Instagram. This is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. Israel, do you have any last words before we go?
I do not. As the helicopter from the Marine base goes over our house. But you know, speedy recovery to Tiger Woods. You know, we've all grown up and watched Tiger Woods, and you know, he's one of the reasons that I got into golf. He's a relevant reason that a lot of people got into golf, you know, helping for a speedy recovery. And, you know, just glad that he's still here with us. And most importantly, although with the vaccines and everything around, COVID's not done yet. So make sure you're taking care of yourself, not putting yourself in situations to where, you know, COVID is an issue. Wear your mask where needed and just be safe. And just be safe, guys. There's a lot going on right now. Just be safe wherever you go.
All right. Well said. I totally agree. Be safe. Take care of yourself. Drive carefully, as Tiger Woods shown us that you have to. You have to be a little bit more cautious behind the wheel. Don't be in such a hurry. You know, I'm glad he's going to make a full recovery. I'm glad it's just injuries and not what it could have and probably on that stretch of road should have been, which we should be talking about how great of a golfer Tiger Woods was and his legacy and making this Kobe Bryant 2.0. So glad that didn't happen. I'm glad he's okay, relatively speaking. And, you know, we hope he makes a full speedy recovery. So, stay safe out there, everybody. Subscribe to our show. Give us some feedback. If you want to sponsor the show or know of anybody that wants to sponsor the show, send them our way. We are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network for Israel Troop. I'm Corey Burton. So long. See you later. And we'll catch you back here next week. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.